107. We're thankful for the privilege, opportunity to be here. I appreciate Brother Rutledge inviting us to come be a part of this meeting. And got to see some folk I haven't seen in a while, and that's a blessing to us. And be in service with them. A lot of you I don't know. I guess I'm a homebody. This is far west as I've ever been. From we live between Chattanooga and Nashville area, and this is as far as I've made it, amen. But we're thankful to be here, and I want to say something tonight. I don't travel around a whole lot. The Lord seems like to give us liberty to be at a few meetings in different places over the last few years, and we was able to plant a church in our home county right at 20 years ago, and just seems like we just tried to stay right there and do what we can and serve the Lord in that place, and seems like through time there's different doors beginning to open and different things and places to go, and we try to pray about that. I preached for one of our preacher boys that we ordained last year. I preached for him on a Sunday up in Kentucky. He's up real close to the Ark. I think that church is maybe 6 miles from the Ark. So if you're ever up that way, there's a good church up there to visit. Amen. Tabernacle Baptist Church, Brother Jason Caulfield. And I told him I'd come on a Sunday. And I'd have never done that, Brother Shepherd, had he not been out of our church. And I'll be honest, even preaching for him and being there with him, I felt almost out of place. I love the church where God's put me. They've been good to me. The Lord used them to be a real blessing to me and my family. And I thank God for the little patch that he's let us labor in and trying to do something for his name. But coming over here, I want to say this. And of course, we come in yesterday evening. The friendship and fellowship that we've received while we've been here, I feel right at home. Now, I'm as nervous as a man could be right now, I'll be honest with you, amen. But I feel at home. I mean, really, the fellowship, folks in this church and this area and talking with us and just made us feel so welcome. And you just don't, I'll be honest, you don't get that everywhere as you go. And I want to say tonight, thank you. It's been a help to our heart. It's been a help for me and my family to be here. And I thank God for saving me. I wasn't raised in a Christian home, and I never would have dreamed when I got saved at 25 years old that God would pour out his blessings on my life like he has. I mean, I just feel like he spoiled me. I feel like he's been better to me than he's been to anybody. And you ought to feel that way. God's been good to us. And I like that song they sung, more of him and less of me. And that's what I desire to be. I want to be a Christian. I want to serve the Lord. I don't want somebody to look at me. I've been studying around on the message, who are you? And I don't want that to ever be said of me. I want to be the same everywhere as I go. Whether I'm at home or in the church house, I want to be the same. And we want to serve the Lord. But I appreciate the place to stay. I appreciate the good fellowship while we've been here. We look forward to the preaching afterward when I get out of the way tonight. And I want to thank God for the messages we've heard while we've been here. Now, I've been in a lot of meetings, or several meetings, not a whole lot, but several. And it's good to be able to come into a place where you don't feel like folks are shooting at each other. Man, I need help, Brother Shepherd. I mean, I need help. I've got it. Amen. I've got, don't feel like there's no type of agenda. I feel like we're just trying to do what we can and serve the Lord, get some help along the way and help one another, build one another up, edify one another. Amen. Get ready to make the crossing. I tell you what, Brother Fale was preaching this morning. It helped me, boy. Amen. I guess I don't know where I fit in anymore. I'm not really that young and not really that old. I guess I'm somewhere that's kind of hung out in between at this point. But I'm glad, thank God, there's a place for me on yonder shore. Amen. And I thank the Lord for that. I'm glad I'm saved. And I'm glad, amen, that when I was 25 years old, God dealt with me another time and gave me an opportunity to be born again. If you're sitting here tonight and never been saved, you don't know what you're missing. It's the best life you could ever have. You ought to abandon everything you're holding on to tonight. You ought to just, amen, let go of all that and surrender and submit and just let God save you and let Him have His way. You've probably been dealing with somebody sitting here tonight for a while and probably been pulling on you and tugging on you. And my best advice to you tonight is get born again. Amen. Get saved by the grace of God. Repent of your sin. Turn to Christ and be saved before it's too late. My biggest regret, and it's probably everybody's regret, and it's probably the only regret you could ever find anybody having, that saved by the grace of God, that wish they'd done it sooner. Man, I wasted some precious years in my life, and I thank God for the joy that He's put down inside of us since we've been saved by the good grace of God. Almost 25 years ago, April the 12th, 1998, the year of our Lord, I got born again, a little old-fashioned Methodist church. I got saved there. Don't hold that against me. Amen. Amen. Outside of eternal security and the coming of the Lord, there really wasn't that much difference at all in a lot of what I heard and growed up around. But I got to study my Bible after I got saved and with those folks. And my wife had one of the prayingest grannies. I'm telling you, brother, old-time Christian. Old-time. Is it all right if I testify? I mean, I just want to mind the Lord. And that lady will never know what she meant to me. But I was rough as a cob. Ain't proud of it, but I was rough as a cob. Worked an old steel mill, poured iron for years. And we done it the old-fashioned way, but there wasn't much automated work inside of that thing. We lugged that old big ladle around and pushed it around and poured iron for years in that old foundry. And my wife, we got to dating and so on. And of course, she said, you got to meet my family. And I met her grandmother. Old-timey. Old-timey. I mean, brother, they just so few of them now. Old-timey. Did I say old-timey? Everybody in our community, brother, would call that woman and ask her. I mean, I don't care where they went, who they was, they would call and ask Sister Janie Bibbins to pray for them. You just had to know her. Pray 3 and 4 hours a day. My wife told me it's countless times that she'd walk in the house and catch her grandmother praying. She didn't do it for show. And boy, she had one more prayer life and prayed me into the kingdom. Prayed me in. And I'd go over to that house and visit her and her husband, Brother Glenn, and he's just an old coal miner. And done that from the time he was a boy and worked here, there, and yonder and made a living. Raised five or six youngins, but Janie would love on me and just, man, she just loved me in. Invite me to church, and man, I'd go over there and I'd try to act like a gentleman best I could. And son, I'll tell you, they wasn't much I was afraid of, but man, it'd tear me up when I'd get around them. You listening to me? Just the love of God oozing out of me. I mean, the day when I got saved, brother. The day when I got saved and God lifted that burden off of her, she got in front of, there was about 180 people in that church that morning. And they had us, there's 8 of us that we got saved. And when they come around shaking hands with everybody, and they said, what did God do for you? And I said, well, He saved me, you know. And I didn't know anything about anything. But when she got right in front of me, she went to jumping straight up and down, screaming like a banshee, like a Comanche, man, right in my face. Slapping me on the shoulders, brother. I mean, she's coming off the ground about that high. Old timey. Slapping. I mean, said, man, what in the world have I got into, right? But I'm glad I'm in the household of faith. And I'm glad somebody prayed me in. I want to encourage you. Don't give up praying for your loved ones. Don't give up. Man, I tell you, I was about as bad a shape as I've ever been. Spiritually and mentally. And spiritually, I was dead, but you understand what I'm saying. Amen. I was about as bad a shape as I'd ever been in right before I got saved. My brother, I went to witness to him about 2 years after I'd got saved. And I'd been witnessing to him, but I went to witness to him one day. I'd been saved about a couple of years. And I mean, brother, he cussed me out and told me to get out of his face. He was 8 years older than me, and I mean, he was a mountain of a man. Intimidating, big, broad-shouldered, thick, big man. He cussed me out and said, get out of my face. I don't want to hear no more about that. And about 2 months later, he is saved by the grace of God. Hallelujah. I'm glad Jesus is in the business of saving old sinners. You ought to let Him have His way in your life. If he's pulling on you and tugging on you, you ought to get saved tonight. Day go down the best day of your life. I tell you, Jesus is coming soon. He's a coming soon. And you need to get in before it's too late. Thank God. Hey, after I got saved, I want to tell you something. I just tried to do my best. Ignorant, unlearned, didn't know anything. But I tell you, God put a burden in my heart for my mom and my dad. And I said, man, I don't want my family to die and go to hell. Well, there ain't nobody like Daddy hardly, you know. We had our share of troubles around my house. And you understand? I'm telling you, it wasn't a bed of roses, and they wouldn't save folk. And I could tell, I say a whole lot of things about what I was raised in. But I still loved my mom and daddy. My daddy was my hero. And I tell you, it wasn't nobody like mama. So I seen her sacrifice, brother, just so us kids could have decent clothing. While things wasn't going too good. And I seen my mama tolerate a lot just to raise us kids best she could. But I tell you, God put a burden in my heart after I got saved by the grace of God. Deep burden. Couldn't escape. Glad I didn't escape it. And thank God for that old one of those old deacons in the church where I got saved. They just kind of took me under their wing. He said, boy, we have prayer here on Tuesday nights. You need to come to prayer. That was outside of Wednesday night service. So I'd show up on Tuesdays to pray with them old timers. Then they have all night prayer on the first Friday of every month. They would sign up for an hour. And he told me, he said, boy, you need to sign up. You need to come take you an hour and pray, talk to God. And I'd sign up and I'd come pray and read my Bible and talk to God. Then when my hour was over, I'd ease on and somebody come in and take a place. That's how I cut my teeth. God called me to preach. I cut my teeth in nursing homes, and I cut my teeth in the old-fashioned cottage prayer meeting. Couldn't tell you how many cottage prayer meetings I preached in. 6-7 people would gather in the bedrooms, kitchens, living rooms, lay the Bible up on the back of a chair, just give it our best. Preach them shut-ins, lost folks, seeing people get saved. Man, what a blessing. Wasn't no offerings, wasn't no pay. Your face wasn't on no flyer. Nobody's taking up an offering. Are you listening to me? Son, I'll tell you, and God would meet with us. But I said, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I don't want my daddy and mama to die lost. And after I'd been saved just a little while, my mama, I thought my daddy would get saved first. He didn't. My mama got saved on a Wednesday night. And she was 56 years old. My daddy got saved the following Wednesday. He was 60 years old. And I want to go on record saying tonight, getting saved is one of the greatest things, the best thing I've ever done. It's the best thing I've ever done. I've seen my daddy get saved. I've seen my mama get saved. I've seen my brother get saved. I've seen two of my children get saved. I've seen nieces and nephews get saved. I've seen a lot of folk I worked with get saved right when I was still working in a public job. And I say, thank God tonight, amen, you can have an influence in somebody's life and God can answer your prayers and see somebody get born again. Thank God for the preaching Brother Fuller done last night. Amen. Hallelujah. It's good to be born again. All right, Psalm 107. I'll try to hurry now. And would you stand with us just for a moment? Stretch your legs out just for a moment. Man, pray for me. I don't want to take up no more time than what the Lord wants us to, and I definitely want to get out of the way. But thank God for the good food, the good fellowship, the good place to stay. And thank you, Unity Baptist Church. Thank you, Brother Rutledge, for having us and making us feel so welcome. And I mean that from the depths of my heart. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Amen. For His mercy endureth. That means continuance, and that means without end. For His mercy is without end. It forever continues. His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the enemy, the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Well, the Lord reproved me a while back on this verse, because sometimes we get so busy preaching to people and really stressing, do not use God like a spare tire. And I would say amen to that, but I'm telling you, I am glad that when you are in trouble and your heart's in the right place, Thank God you can cry unto the Lord and He'll help you. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And the Bible said, and He delivered them out of their distresses. And not just one distress, but it was distresses. Many, many issues in their life. And the Bible tells us He delivered them out of their distresses. And He led them forth by the right way, that they may go to a city of habitation. And then we come to the ends of this first stanza in Psalm 107. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Verse number 9, the Bible said, for He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Thank you, and be seated tonight. That'll be all of our reading. Let's take just a moment for a word of prayer, then we'll try to get into these verses and unpack them and see what God has for us tonight. Father, I thank You, dear Lord, for another opportunity to stand and preach Your word. And I thank You, Father, for the liberty to testify. And God, I pray that, Lord, as we've tried, dear Lord, to be mindful of You, that, Lord, You'll give increase, dear God, to the things that we've said. And Lord, I pray that somebody will respond tonight, maybe more than one, God, and they'd be born again before it's everlasting too late. God, I thank You, Lord, for that crowd that prayed for me and witnessed to me, Lord, when I was unsaved. Seems like everywhere as I went, Lord, somebody was trying to witness to me. Seems like everywhere as I went, I was running into tracts, invitations, and people, God, that had a burden for me. And Lord, I pray, God, that You would help us in turn do the same for our kindred, for our loved ones, for our co-workers, for our friends, God, that we may reach into their life and make a difference. Jude said, and of some having compassion, making a difference. Father, if we're running low on compassion tonight, God, help us to survey where our people are at, where our friends are at, where our loved ones are at. Help us, God, remind us of that judgment day, God, that we read about in Revelation 20. And God, may You, dear Lord, speak to our hearts and help us, dear God, to witness and to be instant in season, out of season. Dear God, to be effective, oh Lord. And God, that we would reach into somebody else's life and bring them and help bring them to You. You said, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. God, I know that'll bring great joy to our own life, knowing, God, that we're not coming in empty-handed at the end of the road, but God, that we'd have somebody, oh God, that we could bring along with us. Help us, God, not to let this treasure in this earthen vessel go to waste. And God will not fail to thank You for what's done. Please, Lord, speak to us in the remainder of this time in this service. And God will not fail to thank You for it. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to get into verse number 9 primarily in these verses, if I may. But I want to back up and start at verse number 1. And pray for me that we not say anything the Lord don't want us to say. I don't want to say more than I need to, and I don't want to say less than I ought to. When I was looking at these verses, and there was a song that just kept coming to my heart and kept getting on my mind, and for sake of time, I'm not going to give a big introduction on this Psalm 107 about the author and the motive and all that, and where it fits into these other psalms of thanksgiving, but I'd like to just jump on into this. And then the song that just kept reoccurring to me ties in with the thought that's on my mind this evening, what God put on our heart to come preach. I'll be honest with you. I didn't try to pull out, amen, one of my big famous men. I ain't got one. Amen. I'll just be honest with you. I ain't one of them fellas with all the catchy titles and all that. We just try to preach and do our part. But I thank God for catchy titles. I mean, it'll stick with you a lot of times. But I thought about this song in relation to what God had put in our heart to preach on tonight. And I want you to listen to the words of it. The things that I love, I hold dear to my heart. They are borrowed and not mine at all. Jesus only let me use them to brighten my life. So remind me, dear Lord. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where You brought me from and where I could have been. Just remember, I'm human, and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. Nothing good have I done to deserve God's own Son. I'm not worthy of the scars in His hands. Yet He chose the road to Calvary to die in my stead. Why He loved me, I cannot understand. Roll back the curtain of memory now and then. Show me where You brought me from and where I could have been. Just remember, I'm human and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. Just remember, I'm human and humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. And I want to preach tonight with that thought in mind. Don't forget where Jesus brought you from. Don't forget where Jesus brought you from. Now, I realize sitting in these services, that there's been several different things addressed in the meeting, that the part that I've been able to hear. And I appreciate the variety of things that I've got to hear. Got to hear about soul winning last night, and from Brother Fuller and Brother Simpson preaching on the subject about our love relationship between us and the Savior. Then got to hear about heaven this morning, faith to the bone, like Psalm 23, and the Lord being our shepherd, and so on. But I tell you, the burden of my heart tonight is this: don't forget where God brought you from. Don't forget where God brought you from. Don't get accustomed to this good way. Don't get used to hearing men read out of a King James Bible and singing songs out of the old redback hymnal and just kind of get at ease with this thing and get some water under the bridge. And all of a sudden, you just get down the road a little ways and the joy and the awe of salvation begins to disappear out of your life. I tell you, I've been saved going on 25 years and I do not want to forget where Jesus brought me from. I don't want to ever forget where He brought me from and where I could have been. I'm telling you, I could have been dead in hell. I could be burning in the flames. I could be lost in prison tonight. I could be sitting in a nursing home. I could be in a stretched out in the hospital room. I'm telling you, thank God where He brought me from. Thank God I'm not where I could have been. And I don't want to forget what Jesus done for me. Hallelujah. I do not want to forget what He done for me. Oh, God, help us tonight. Man, don't just settle in like, amen, 10-year-old concrete. Don't set up like that. Don't set up. Don't get in a rut in your life. Don't get to the place where you become apathetic or maybe lukewarm and you think, well, I'm rich, I'm increased. Hey, I'm not judging my spirituality tonight on materialism. Hey, man, I'm telling you, God, help us. I don't want to be in a rut. I don't want to sit back like the church over at Laodicea and say, well, I'm rich and increased with goods and I have need of nothing. I don't want to get in that place in my life. I know the church at Ephesus tried them, which said they were apostles or not, and has found them liars. He said, I know thy works and this and that. But He said, nevertheless, I've got somewhat against you. You've left your first love. Don't forget where God brought you from. You might have been raised in a Christian home. And I hope you was. And I tell you, I get just as excited to hearing our young people testify at Mount Zion that was raised in a Christian home, that don't have all the baggage, don't have all the scars, don't have all the trash in their life like some of us. God, I mean, it thrills me to death seeing them get saved at a young age and live for the Lord. I mean, it thrills me to death. I'd rather hear that, amen, is hear about having to get saved off a bar stool somewhere. I'll be honest with you. Hey, thank God that you let the Lord have control of your life as a child, as a young person. You're wiser than the rest of us and give it to Him as a young person. I tell you, I mean, if it had not been for His salvation, what kind of mess would you be in tonight? I mean, you could be in serious trouble this evening. Oh, God, help us. Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. It's none of our works or our merit is why we're not consumed tonight, but it's His mercies this evening. It's His mercies. I want you to look back at verse number 1 with me just for a moment. He begins this psalm, oh. Have you lost the oh out of your life? Was that a time when you first got saved? you couldn't help but start weeping when you'd stand and testify. Why does everybody have to say, well, I remember? Well, why do we have to be in the place that we say, well, it used to be this way? Man, it could still be that way. I mean, it can be even better than what it was then. I mean, I know more about him tonight than I did when I got saved. Son, if you'd asked me to name you five apostles, I'd probably say, well, Moses and Noah. And is anybody out there? I'd probably said Adam or somebody. I mean, I didn't know Big Wood from Brush. Amen. I didn't know Fetch from Sikkim. I tell you, thank God, since I've been saved by the grace of God and God's given His truth along this good way. Hey, I know more about Him tonight than I've ever known. Oh, bless His name. There's some things we understand about Him that we did not understand when we got saved. Ought to make us love Him. Don't forget where God brought you from. Amen. Don't forget. There's a danger in that. You know why? Because we're humans. And humans forget. So remind me, dear Lord. Over in Deuteronomy, I'm telling you now, he's writing this, the second giving of law. That's what Deuteronomy's talking about. And he told them, he uses the word remember 14 times in those 30 plus chapters. Remind. How many times did he say forget not or not to forget and so on? I mean, constantly he's hammering away because God knows how we are. God knows we can get so wrapped up in the affairs and circumstances and situations of our lives and the hardships and the troubles, and all of a sudden we start forgetting about the goodness of God. All of a sudden we start looking at our problems and just small and minute as they may be. They begin to block things out of our vision and we forget how good God's been. I mean, I could take my thumb, no bigger than it is. I ain't got big hands. I could take my thumb tonight. Amen. If I get in the right position between me and the sun, I can block the light out. Are you listening to me? You've probably heard that before, but it's the truth. Something so small, something so minute can block out something so great and so tremendous. I'm telling you, what's your focus on tonight? What is your gaze fixed on? Have you forgot where God has brought you from? If you're sitting here tonight saved by the grace of God, are you forgetting what all God has done in your life? Hey, I understand. Maybe your health ain't what you wished it was, but thank God for what you do have. Amen. Your family may be lost, but hey, thank God for what you do have. Hey, you can still pray for them. Amen. You've still got breath in your life. You can still intercede for them. You can still make supplication for their salvation. I'm telling you, thank God for what we've got tonight. I don't like where we're at in a lot of ways in this country. But I'd rather be in America as I had Russia. I'd rather be in America as I had North Korea. Is anybody listening to me? Amen. I'd rather be here as I had there. I'd rather be here tonight as I had in hell. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, God saved me from hell. Now, I wasn't taught eternal security out of a Sunday school class. I told you I got saved in a little old Methodist church, but I tell you, man, I got in my Bible, got to study, and I run into words like justification. I said, what's that mean? Justify? What does that mean? Well, I started studying in it, and I said, I don't know about being lost again. Now, I'm just telling you where I was at with my Bible and a Strong's Concordance and Brother and a Bible dictionary, and that's about it. About all I have. And a pine thicket, thank God. And some of you might get that later on, but I thank God for the pine thicket, bro. The old timer said, you need to build you a rock altar out there in the woods somewhere, boy. Are you listening to me? Amen. That's how I cut my teeth. I ain't nobody, but hey, thank God it worked for me. Amen. Hallelujah. I was over there reading Romans 4 one day, and it's talking about impute. I said, what is that? Son, what is that? Impute. Oh, it means put to somebody's account. Are you listening to me? I said, man, I don't know if I'm going to be lost or not. I mean, he's giving me his. Is anybody out there? He's giving me his righteousness. I figured somebody took a running lap right about there. Hey, man. I mean, you give me your righteousness? You put that on me? Andy Lockhart, Frank Andrew Lockhart, born to Junior and Regina Lockhart, Flat Branch, Tennessee, Holy Water, Tennessee. Yeah, 1046 Holy Water. That's where I live. A nobody. Nobody. And you give me the God of heaven and the God of the universe, the creator of the cosmos. Thank God, give me His righteousness. I tell you, I don't want to forget where God brought me from. Hallelujah. I said, looks to me like I may be saved forever. Then I got to worry, got to dabbling around, got to fooling around trying to study out being sealed with the Spirit of God. Is anybody out there? I said, I don't know. I'm over there reading the Old Testament. You know what I'm talking about? And it's typology and symbolic. He said, no man can reverse the king's seal. I reckon I'm a man. Amen. Purchase possession. They tell us there in Ephesus, it being a seaport type city, that when those in commercialism, when them travelers would come through and they'd purchase possession. And that man might tell that shopkeeper, said, now, I've got some more shopping and some more looking around to do. He said, but I done purchased this. What I'm going to do, I'm going to leave my mark. I'm going to put my seal on it. And when I come back through, I'll get it. I'm glad when he comes back through, he's going to get us, ain't you? Hallelujah. Anybody? Amen. He's going to make his rounds, if you will. Thank God I'm a pulling out of here. I said, looks to me like I'm saved forever. Yeah. Then I had to go before the church I was pastoring and say, well, I don't believe like I did when I come here. And they said, you got to go. Is anybody listening to me? I weighed the cost, brother. I said, man, it's right. Praise God, I'm saved forever. It's right. Just going to have to let it fall where it will. Amen. And it hurt when they said, I got to go. And it cut pretty deep and this and that. But I'm telling you, even through all that, preacher, I would have never dreamed that I'd get to see the things I've got to see since, amen, we made those decisions back in those days. I'm telling you, what hurts you today will help you tomorrow. Well, amen, when I tell you, friend, when you go through hardships and troubles, hey, somewhere's down the road, God will help your heart and teach you some things about it. You won't see it when you're going through it. You won't see it. Oh, give thanks. Give. If we're not careful, all we want to do is receive. Give. What are we to give? Thanks. Well, he said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We're to give thanks, right? Not complaints, thanks. Amen. Give. Why wouldn't I want to give when I see how much He's given to me? Thanks. You know, to give thanks, it takes time to assess what God's done in your life. When's the last time you got loose from Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, the television, the internet, all of social media, and you just sat down and began to survey all that God has done for you? When's the last time you done that? That you took time, that I took time to sit down and assess everything God has... Son, I tell you, brother, it won't be long. It'll break out on you. I mean, it'll break. If it don't break out on you, hey man, there's something wrong. Amen. Thanksgiving. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for His mercy endureth forever. Let. I've got permission. God's given me permission right here. God's given me an invitation. There's a responsibility in verse number 1. But he said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Man, you've got something to say. You've been saved by the grace of God. I want to hear about it. I don't know. I've been pastor now going on 22, 23 years, 19 where I'm at now, almost 20. But I'm telling you this evening, friend, there's some folk, they never testify. I don't understand that. Unless they just ain't got nothing to testify about, and I'm not being critical, and I'm not trying to be ugly, and I ain't trying to be rude. I'm telling you, when I first got saved, I said, this is how I was now. I said, I ain't going to say nothing to nobody. Got saved that Sunday morning, clocked in to the foundry that Monday morning, went back to work. Thomas Barnes from Jasper, Tennessee, walked up to me. I bet we didn't talk 2 minutes And before I knowed it, I done told him I got saved. Are you listening? I said, I ain't telling nobody. And brother, within 2 minutes, I was done over there witnessing. I mean, I couldn't keep it in. I didn't know nothing. I just got saved. Born again the day before, got into God's family. Next fellow walked by before I knew it, brother Mitch, I was witnessing to him. Said, man, let me tell you what happened to me yesterday. Praise God, I got a witness on it when I start telling. And I just knew, I said, man, when I tell them what happened to me, man, they want it too. I said, everybody want what I got. Everybody want what I have. Well, not everybody wants what I got, but thank God it's worth sharing and it's worth telling and he's worth magnifying and he's worth bragging on and he's worth exalting. Went to church. They had revival the Sunday morning after I got saved and they started revival that week. I sit there and listen to them. They start popping up that Monday night, folks testifying. Tuesday night rolled around, folks start testifying. Wednesday night rolled around, preacher got up, said, anybody got anything you want to say? My heart started fluttering real bad. And I said, man, I know I got saved today. What's this fluttering going on inside of me? I mean, just jumping up and down. Thursday night rolled around, that fluttering started, and before I noted, I was on my feet. Are you listening to me? You said, what was you doing? The redeemed the Lord had a right to say so. Oh, yes. Hey, if you're saved by the grace of God, you ought to tell it. You ought to tell it. Amen. I ain't a whole lot on that word sharing. It sounds about half charismatic. But you ought to share your testimony. You ought to tell your testimony. You ought to give your testimony. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Who's he talking about anyhow? Whom he hath redeemed. And we're just looking at this from a practical standpoint. Whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. You know, there's a time this hand of the enemy, he had a hold on me and you. And it don't matter if you was 8 years old when you got saved. I'm telling you, he had a hold on you. The hand of the enemy, he had a hold on us. Thank God, amen. The strong man was bound. And we found deliverance, friend. And that word almost sounds like charismatic talk, don't it? We found salvation. Is that better, amen? Is that better? I found salvation that day. I got born again by the grace of God. And God saved me and changed my life. Hallelujah. I don't want to forget where he brought me from. From the hand of the enemy had a hold on us. He wanted to hurt us. Verse 3, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. I want you to look at this with me. They wandered in the wilderness. And there's no stability in their life. They're just wandering. No stability. Do you remember when that was you? I mean, you listen to your mom and dad testify, but you knew deep down in your heart you didn't have nothing. Wondering. I mean, no stability in your life, nothing to hold you steadfast, nothing to hold you in a steady place. They wandered in the wilderness. But you know, you come down to verse number 7, when they cried on the Lord, now he leads them forth. I'm glad he ain't leading me backwards. I've been going forward ever since I got saved, man. Is anybody listening to me? I've been going straight forward ever since I got born again. Hallelujah. So there's a lot of things I started out in life. I didn't know if I was up or down, around or around, washing or hanging out. But thank God, since I got born again, I've been going forward ever since. Hallelujah. Well, they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. But you come down to verse number 7. After they cried to the Lord and he delivered them out of their distresses, they didn't have no city, but now they have a city of habitation. I'm glad God's got a place for me in this thing. I'm glad God put a spot in this thing for me. And if you're saved by the grace of God tonight, hey, and a member of the body of Christ, God has a place for you. God has a work for you. God's got a purpose for your life. God has a place for you to serve him. You say, yeah, but Brother Andy, I'm getting old up in years, and so was Anna. But she served the Lord with fasting and prayer. I mean, Caleb's 84 years old. But he said, give me that mountain that was promised to me. Thank God he wasn't looking to retire. He wasn't looking to quit. He wasn't looking to hand it over to somebody younger. He said, I want my mountain. Hallelujah. He didn't lose his determination. He didn't lose his drive nor his desires. He said, I'm 84, but they still more ground for me to conquer. Listen to me. Just because you're getting up in years, saying to God, don't mean it's time to just set it down and let everybody hand it over to everybody. Man, we need you. I say thank God for kindling, but man, we need some backburning logs. Amen. You might start a fire with kindling, but if you're going to keep it going, you better get you no backbone, no backlog somewhere. Son, I respect them. Amen. Thank God. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Man, they was wandering, they was wanting, they was wasting away. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the right way that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Now, you're going to find these four stanzas, every one of them, their problems are reported, prayers resorted to, and then we see there's power to rescue them out of every one of these issues. And there's four likenesses, or five, that we find in these verses, but I'm not going to talk about it. I've done preach too long, but look down at verse number 8 with me, if you would, real quickly. Verse number 8. Oh, that men, not angels, not seraphims, not cherubims. Oh, that men, it's me and you, would praise the Lord. Man, I tell you, man, wouldn't it have been a blessing to have been there when this writer was inspired and he's writing this off and the encouragement comes? It'd been hard for me not to join in with him. He said, oh, that men would praise the Lord. Oh, the men would praise the Lord. Boy, I like his stillness I'm feeling. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Why? For His goodness. Good man, the ruler, the young man come running. He said, good master, what most good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? He said, why callest me now good? There's none good but one, God. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works. Have you ever been involved in His wonderful works? Maybe we don't know what all we got in Him. That's what I'm wondering tonight. Maybe we're missing out on what all it is. It's not just I got out of hell free card. I'm telling you, brother, He imputed His righteousness to me. I've been justified by faith. I heard Brother Biddle preach it years ago. I was sitting there at Faith Baptist Camp. Brother Biddle meant so much to me. Man, when I'd get in His presence, He made me feel like somebody. I mean, He's just such a gentleman. Sometimes I'd be in a meeting and He'd come sit down by me and just talk to me. Man, Brother Shepherd, I mean, it helped my heart. But I was there in a meeting. He preached these 3 points. And son, I mean, we shouted our guts out that night. He said, I'm justified freely. And we are. I didn't do nothing to deserve it. Didn't do nothing to merit it. He said, I'm justified fully. You can't add nothing to it or take nothing away from it. And son, when he hit, I knew where he was going. I said, well, he's throwing them elves out there. And I said, freely and fully, surely he's going to say forever. And when he said forever, I'm telling you, Brother Leah, come off that thing. You listening to me? You've got that in Christ tonight. Justified freely, justified fully, and justified for how? What's the duration? Forever. And we can't get happy. We can't offer up thanksgiving. We can't just take a few minutes and say, Lord, I may not even understand what all that means, but I want to thank you for it because it involves me. No matter who you are, where you come from, what side of the tracks you was raised on, I tell you, hey man, rich or poor, simple or wise, hey, thank God for His permanent salvation. Verse number 9, for He satisfieth the longing soul. Is it all right if I give you some word meanings and I'm done? I'd like to give you these and I'll get out of the way. For He satisfieth the longing soul. I got interested in some of this wording. This word satisfieth is the word sabaoth, if I'm pronouncing it right in Hebrew. And I hope I don't, I'm not a Bible corrector. I like looking at definitions and I like researching them out, and this will help me. For he satisfieth the longing soul. Sabaoth. What does it mean? It means to feel. It means to have enough. Do you hear that? Preacher said this morning, he's enough. To have enough, it means plenty of. It means to the full. For he satisfieth. For he's enough. He's plenty of. He's wanting to feel to full. You remember when Jesus fed the multitude? What did the Bible say? They went away full. He didn't only feed them and satisfy them for the moment, but nobody went away hungry. Nobody. Nobody. They all went away full. Woo! Hallelujah. Is it all right if I shout? Is it all right if I shout in a Bible conference? Praise God. They went away full. Hallelujah. No one draw attention to myself, but praise God. Why wouldn't we be excited about it? Satisfied. Who does he satisfy? The longing soul. That word longing means to course like a beast of prey. It means to seek greedily. It means to have an appetite. It means to run to and fro. Brother, I remember when I was in that, wandering in that solitary, that waste place. But since, praise God, he's been my Savior. He's been leading me forth. And where I was hungry and thirsty, now I find satisfaction for my longing soul. And filleth the hungry soul, filleth malal. What does it mean? It means full. It means to accomplish. And I like this one. It means to overflow. Sounds like that Psalm 23, don't it? My cup runneth over. Overflowing. Everybody okay? You glad you're saved? He filleth a hungry soul with goodness. I like this word, goodness. Tob. Tob. What does it mean? It means the good. It means the best. That is big business where I come from. It means the best. It means sweet. It means precious. And it means bountiful. I'll give you two verses, and Lord willing, I'll get out of the way. I thought about this over in Genesis and chapter number 47. Joseph placed his father and his brethren and gave them a possession, the land of Egypt, in the best of the land. Amen. We know Egypt's the top of the world, but I sure am glad I've got the best thing a man can have while he's here in this world. Amen. The best in the land of Egypt. And that's what God's given me and you, is his best. I read this verse probably a year ago. Now I'm telling you, man, it flew off the page on me. Got down in my heart, and it's been a help to me. Genesis chapter number 43. And them brothers have come before Joseph. And he said, peace be to you. Fear not, your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. And I was sitting there reading that, and I said, treasure in your sacks. Treasure in your sacks. And I got to thinking about it, and I said, that's about all I am. Just no temporary ragged sack. But down inside of me, my heavenly Joseph has put some treasures. Just a decaying, feeble, passing off the scene old sack. And God took 25 years ago and said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do with that old ragged sack you got. I'm going to put some treasures down in it. I'm going to put some treasures in it. Don't ever forget where God brought you from. There's more inside of you than you even realize tonight. The treasure of the abiding Holy Ghost. The temple of the Lord. Don't have a whole lot down here, do we? But we're looking for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And our blessed Lord, getting ready to leave, he told him over and over, I've got to go to Jerusalem. I've got to be crucified, but I will rise again the third day. He's getting ready to head out. And we got the last week with him there in the book of John. And he said, let not your heart be troubled. Don't be troubled. Don't be troubled because what you see in Washington. Don't be troubled. What you see over in Russia and China and North Korea and everybody's got their finger on the button right now. Don't be troubled. I mean, if they do blow us out of here, man, I'm headed for heaven. Are you listening to me? Let not your heart be troubled. Ain't no need to be troubled. Never did give us a spirit of fear. Let not your heart be troubled, he said. In my Father's house there are many mansions. He said, if it were not so, I would have told you. But I go away. And he did. If I go away, he said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. He said, I'm going to come again. That where I am, there ye. Bunch of fishermen, tax collectors. If I could use the term, just old common country boys. He said, I'm going to whisk you away one of these days. That where I am, there ye may be also. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works toward the children of men. Don't forget where God brought you from. Get off in your prayer place. Find a place to thank him. Don't leave the altar empty all the time. Get on it and thank God for what he's done for you.